Well, good evening, saints. Are your heart thirsty tonight? I tell you what, I got church thirsty the last couple weeks. I found out I'd rather be here than homesick anytime. Y'all pray we try it tonight. I still got this lingering cough. And hopefully I'm over the violent coughing, I think. But we're going to go ahead with it anyway. The devil told me to stay home and I couldn't do it. I told him he's a liar. I got this in the mail. I've quoted from this several times, a prophetic observer that FWR sends out every month. And I'm not going to read anything from here. Just want to make you aware of it. It's a headline that's got a picture of the Pope. Kind of looks like Dan, don't it, with all the garment on? No? Okay. Anyway, 2025, a year of prophetic significance. And the article was written by SWR's Josh Davis that I've quoted a lot of times from. And it's the top 10 prophetic things that happened this past year. If anybody wants a copy, see my wife and we'll get you a copy of it. If not, that's okay. I just wanted to share that with you. I thought it was a very good article that Josh come up with. All right, I want to remind you, we still, after all these weeks, we've been looking at wanting to know God's secrets. And we're still in the area of the behaving like a saint. And here's where we're going to stay, because we haven't finished this study, and we may not for the next 2 or 3 months, 6, I don't know, down there. But, you know, how to behave like a saint. And the purpose of all this, I'm hoping, and my goal is that we would see Jesus. And that we would see Him as we're being conformed to His image. God in His Word has promised us, all of us, that He will show us Jesus if we're heart thirsty. If you want to. And I'm taking it for granted that you all are, or you wouldn't be out here braving this threat of bad weather we got coming. A lot of rain, which I'm very thankful for. But God will satisfy that thirst if we're hungry. And only God can satisfy that thirst through His Word, that we would see Jesus. And we had, in a brief review, we had looked at identification, bringing us to the point to where we want to realize in our identification with Christ is that we have been crucified with Him. And this is a very significant event, that when He died as our representative, in His death, He included you and I. Now, these kind of messages and this kind of subject, a lot of time, is not preached in our churches today, but oh, how important it is. Because if we don't understand this, we cannot go on into maturity and begin to behave like a saint. And unless we're heart thirsty, God is not going to open up our eyes and show us Jesus. And we need to remember and realize that our sins were dealt with by the blood of Christ. But ourselves are dealt with by the cross. That the cross put our old manufacturing company, the place where sin is produced, the cross put it to death. And now we look, we see two sides of the cross. We see the blood procures our pardon, but the cross procures our deliverance from what we are and what we inherited in Adam. Now, we have to need to understand that the blood can wash away my sins, but it cannot wash away my old nature. Our old nature needed the cross to crucify me as the sinner. So we see two distinct aspects of the cross. And I was reading in F.J. Hugel's book, and he makes a quote. He says that the cross of Christ, in a very real sense, is none other than the throne of the living God. And I thought about that, and I said, how true that is, because God reigns from it to and in our lives. He reigns from the cross. That as we come and He begins to take us and deal with us on a daily basis, now that the blood was shed, you have been saved, but now your old self, your old being, God has to work with it. And God put it to death, that manufacturing company of sin. And as we see the twofold work of the cross, our deliverance from our old sin nature and our forgiveness of our blood, we also seen within this our crucifixion, our identification, and now we're going to look at our position tonight. And people, these are acts of God. Now, this is a very important aspect here. These things that we're teaching you are acts of God. And the thing that is important here, the acts of God cannot be reversed. They're acts of God. God had done and said that He has already done us. Did these things to us and for us. When you were born again, the Word of God tells us that you, by the representative Jesus Christ, because He now lives in you, that you have been crucified with Him. And if you have been crucified with Him, you've been raised with Him, you cannot be uncrucified. And you cannot be unrisen from the dead. And people, this is where it's important, because this is where our security lies. That the Word of God teaches us that we have been sealed in place. We have been sealed in place by God, not by your works. Now, I know there's a lot of teaching out there in other fundamental churches that says that you can lose your salvation. I don't see it here in this book. Because whether you know it or not, when you've been born again, there's a lot of acts of God that was put upon you. Things that God had promised you in His Word, and things that He had done to you and I, whether you realize it or not. And when God acts and works, He doesn't undo it. Now, we look at our identification, and when we looked at our identification, we found out that from God's side, He included us first in His death. But then we can also look at from our side that we can now identify with Him in His death. But in this death, remember that it was not our blood that was shed, it was His blood that was shed. Amen. Not yours and not mine. Now, our position. This is something that we need to realize, and I want to look at definition and illustration of the principle of position. What your position is. All spiritual life and growth is based upon the principle of position. And this position can be summed up in one word, and that's source. Our physical births, when we entered our human family, we entered in our human family's position. And it, from that source is where we derive certain characteristics. Now, physically, we are a product of our position, and we are a product of our parents. That's the source. And in that source, in your position, when you was born physically, you were born into sin. You were dead. You inherited sin from your father. He inherited from his father. He inherited from his father. And so all the way back to this guy called Adam. But when we've been born again, things change. When we've been born again, the risen Lord is our source of our Christian life. Now, in Him we are positioned before the Father through Christ. In Acts, the book of Acts, in the 17th chapter, found a verse of scripture I loved. 17th chapter in the book of Acts, in verse 28, this is from the Sermon on Mars Hill. And reading from the Amplified, he says, "For in Him," who's that? In Christ. "We," always like that word, "we." That's you and I, Jim. "We," all of us here tonight, if you've been born again, that's you. He's talking to you personally. Okay? He says, "We live and move and exist." Then in Amplified, it's got it in parentheses. That is, in Him we actually have our being. Isn't this just what we said? In Christ, you are who you are. This is your position. You are now in Christ. As even some of our own poets have said, we also are His children. Now, we hear this a lot, the children of God. Can you really understand this statement? That in Christ, we're now a child of God. And as Dan preached this morning about God, about love, God is love. He don't just contain love. He is love. And can you imagine now, you and I are a child of God, a child of the King, how much He really loves us to put us in the position that He did in Christ Jesus, in His own Son. All the things that God has that comes out as attributes from His love is for you and me. Amen. That we live and move and exist in Him. When you're a child of God, every movement, everything that you do is in Christ. And you have all the Word of God. You have all of heaven. All of God's hosts of angels around you. Because you're a child of God. We see, and so many, and I know there's exceptions here, but so many of us, I was raised in a very loving and a very wonderful home. I was very fortunate. Not everybody has been able to have that and have loving my parents. I did. My parents weren't wealthy at all. My dad was just a steel mill laborer. But he loved us, my brother and I, and he would give us and my mother everything that they could. And one of the greatest gifts that he ever gave us is a Sunday morning that we would jump in his old 51 Mercury and off to church we would go. Old stainless stick shift on the column and had the skirting on the side and the big old white wall tires and boom, 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 down the road we would go to church. And those of us that would come in were born into homes with loving mothers and fathers that loved us and wanted to give to us. Can you just begin to imagine how much as a child of God our Father wants to love us and give to us? But the problem with so many Christians, they're not heart thirsty. They don't want it. God says, I have so much for you. And they say, I'm not interested. I'm going to stay home tonight and watch NASCAR. By the way, is it over?
No,
I don't know. I left about halfway through it, right after the big wreck. Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know what last week was like here. I wasn't home, and I wasn't marching the Super Bowl either. I think I had a Super Bowl of chocolate ice cream, but I wasn't home marching it. And when we're heart thirsty, we want to be in the Word of God. And not just in the Word of God, but we want what God has for us and what He's promised us. I do. He tells us something even more interesting in Ephesians. In the second chapter of Ephesians, verse 10. Now, don't forget, you're a child of God. In verse 10, in the second chapter of Ephesians, he says, we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. You and I have been made. Now listen, folks. Paul here is not just talking about your physical body and your physical attributes. But God made you and I to house a physical, invisible image of God, person of Jesus Christ. House the Holy Spirit. He made us to contain the Creator. None other of any of God's creation as animals and the beautiful mountains and the oceans and so on and so on. They show the magnificency of God and what God has done, but He never made your puppy dog at home that God would come and live in. You might think it sometimes. But you and I, as children of God, He made us to live in us. And this is what God wants to do. This is the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel, folks, is not just to get you out of hell and into heaven. It's to get God out of heaven and into you. That's the heart of the whole gospel. It's nice that we escape hell, but that's not the heart of the gospel. God wants to come and live and dwell in you and I. And it's also in the second chapter, verses 6 and 7, he goes on, and he raised... Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I didn't finish verse 10. Let's go back to verse 10. It says, for we're His workmanship. And in parentheses, in the Amplified, he says, His own masterwork, a work of art. And it certainly it is, because He made us to live and dwell in us. It's a work of art that God had done when you were born again. He says, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed. You understand that when you become a child of God, you've been transformed and renewed. Ready to be used. Used by who? God. Isn't He the one that transformed you? Isn't He the one that made you into the workmanship that He is? Is He not the one that renewed you? And not only that, the Scripture said He bought you on top of that. So where do men and women get this audacity that I can just go out and do what I want to do? Even as professing Christians. We belong to Him. You were bought with a price. He said He transformed us and He renewed us, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us. Made it ready for us, you and I, to be transformed for good works that he could do through you. Wow. What a wonderful scripture. What a wonderful revelation from God. Knowing these things that God has given to each and every one of us. Now go over to 6. Hope my well don't run dry. Second chapter, verse 6. And he, God, raised us up together with him. With who? With Jesus. In parentheses, when we believe. Now listen to this, what he did. This is another act of God here, folks. It's an act of God. Remember, and he's not reversing these acts. He goes on, he said, and he seated us with him. That's right, Mary Jane. And he ain't going to kick us out, is he? He done seated us there. It's past tense, people, in the Greek. It's past tense. It's already been done. He seated us with him in the heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. Wow. In verse 7, and I just throw this in, and he says, and he did this so that in the ages to come, he might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassing riches of his grace. Wow. You know, we got a lot to look forward to when we leave this earth, don't we? Now, do I fully understand this? No, I don't. I don't know what it's going to be like. But I believe it, and this is what the Word of God teaches us, and this is what the Word of God has given us and told us. How great and how wonderful this Word is. And the promises and the acts of God, what He has done already for you and me. People, I wouldn't want to go back into my old life. Those of you who have been saved later in life, can you say the same thing? I wouldn't want to turn and go back into that world. And the longer I live, the more I want to leave this world and leave it behind. I'm getting sick and tired of it. Our daily state is developed from the source of God's eternal standing. So where is our eternal standing at? It's in Christ. We need to see Him. And I would pray that your heartly desire is, Lord, I want to see Jesus. We need to remember and realize that every Christian has been positioned forever in the risen Lord by the spiritual birth. But only the believer who knows it grows. You've got to know this. Sad to say, there's so many Christians live a Christian life and go to church for year after year after year after year, and they don't know this. Their heart is not there. All I need to do is go to church and be sure to be there on Sunday, on Christmas and Easter, and I'm okay. I'm thankful for all of you that even with the threat of the bad weather, you're brave. Come out tonight. I've seen some of you brought umbrellas. I brought a raincoat with me. Some of you didn't. Yeah. I think Dan will make trips back and forth with it, maybe. But yeah.
Somebody been praying for rain and they get their answer.
Well, I have. I hope I get my answer. I don't think it's raining out there yet, is it? I don't know. Taking our position. We take our position not by attempting to get into it, but simply by seeing that we are already positioned in our Lord. This does away, once again, with all works. These things are acts of God. God is the one that has positioned you. You can't go out here and work for it. You can't go out here and earn it. We need to abide in Him by resting in this fact. Rest in that fact. Realize it and know it. That we have been in this risen position ever since our new birth. And as we come to realize this truth and to stand in our standing in Him, we begin to experience the daily benefits of our life that is hid in Christ Jesus. As you know and understand this, as you rest in this and abide in Him, your spiritual life is going to grow. Your heart thirstiness is going to grow. And you not only see Jesus, but I want to see more. I want to see more of Him. And our attitude towards God should begin to change, that I want to see this. I want to see my position in the Lord Jesus. And I want to abide there. I want to rest in Him. And not only as my Savior, but I want to rest in Him as my life. My very, very own life. Faith plays an extremely important part here, because faith in our position will bring growth of our condition. We have, perhaps someday soon, we'll go back to it, and I like to preach on faith. I grew up for many years believing, and faith was positive thinking. And see, if that was true, you could take these scriptures that we have just given you, you can look at these acts of God, but if you, and you could just continue to think on them all you want to, but it don't become real in your life until real faith takes a place. Faith is not positive thinking. Faith is allowing God to be God in action in Him. You got to allow God to be who He is in action in your life. And when you have faith in God, these things take place in your life. You live these things in your life, and you scarcely take notice of it. That's faith. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He prayed for the believers. In the first chapter of Ephesians, he said in verse 17 and verse 18, he says, I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you. Now, folks, this is applied not just to the church at Ephesus, but this applies to you and I. Paul can say right here, I pray for you people here at Faith Community Church that God may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that gives you a deep and personal and intimate sight to know and understand your position into the true knowledge of Him, the true knowledge of Christ, for we know the Father through the Son. You remember that Jesus was asked, show us the Father? What did He tell them? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to see God? See Jesus. Begin to see who He is. In verse 18, Paul goes on and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart... You didn't know your heart had eyes, did you? But Paul is saying here, I pray that your very soul, your very being, the very center and core of your being, that's what the Amplified says, may be enlightened. not just enlightened. He goes on and he says, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Open up. 1,000-watt light, just come on and show you that you will know and cherish the hope and the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which He, God, has called you, the riches of His, not yours, His glorious inheritance in the saints. That's God's people. You are God's inheritance through Jesus Christ. You belong to Him. No one else. Nothing of this world. You belong to Him. And if you will allow God's light by the Holy Spirit to shine on you, and that you would know and cherish that hope, the riches that you have that God wants for you and wants to do through you. When we know and understand this, it should just blow our mind. That this is God's inheritance in us. He says also in verse 3 of the first chapter, he says, blessed and worthy of praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. It's all there for you and I. It's all there. Our Father intends for us to know and understand that what He has provided in Christ in our life, everything required, folks, for the Christian life, everything that's required to behave like a saint, God has supplied it and already given it to you and I. Everything. Both now, in this time, and in eternity. Randy, I got no idea what it's going to be like in eternity. You? It's just going to be so great and so wonderful what God has got for us. God is patiently trying to teach us to have no faith in our old man, our old self, our old nature, but to exercise our faith in our new man, our new nature, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what we're to exercise. Don't look at yourself. That's to be put to death, and it should die daily. You find God working on you with yourself. Sometimes it's a hard lesson. But we're to have faith in our new nature, in our new self, in our new being. Wow. What a wonderful God we've got, folks. Isn't He wonderful? Wow. We have an awesome God. We've got an awesome Word. And each and every one of us, we need to give thanks to the Holy Spirit tonight that He has opened your mind. Opened your understanding, that you understand the Word just a little bit more. And I hope tonight that He has opened up your very heart, very being, that you can see Jesus just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Because you're seeing what He's like. The physical attributes mean nothing. It's who He is. And as we begin to see Him, God has said He wants to take us. It's like a potter in the clay, and He wants to mold you and I into the image of His Son, preparing us that one day, one of these days, each and every one of us are going to see Him face to face. As He molds us and shapes us, bone for His bone, flesh of His flesh, He's molding us into His image, making us fit for heaven. Wow. Let's pray. Father, we thank You once again for your word. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit to open up our minds, illuminating us, give us understanding that we could see Jesus. And as we see him, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've told us in your word that you're going to begin to conform us to the image of him, that we can be prepared one of these days that we'll see him face to face. Be with each one tonight, Lord, as they travel home. Keep them safe, Lord, and we may bring glory and honor to you. In Christ's name, amen.